Good morning, girls. Good morning, girls. Good morning, boys. Ah, the boys are awake. Is this a happy time? Is this a happy time for boys and girls? It should be, shouldn't it, huh? But this is not a time for entertainment. No, it's a very serious time. A happy but serious time. Because you know why it's serious? Because we want you to come to know the Lord Jesus so that you can be in heaven with the rest of us. We don't want you to be left behind when Jesus comes. And I hope that everybody here is ready for the coming of the Lord Jesus. Because you know, it well could be today. In fact, it could be the next moment. That's just what we're waiting for. There's nothing more to be fulfilled according to the Word of God but the coming of the Lord Jesus for all those whose sins are forgiven. I might ask you right now, do you know that your sins are forgiven? Oh, it's important to know that. It's important to know that your sins are forgiven. Let's sing together a song. Who wants to have the first song? Or should I have it? Anybody want to have a first song? Okay, we'll sing number 52. I think everybody can sing this one from the bottom of your heart. You think maybe I could hear everybody sing real heartily this morning? As though you're really happy that Jesus loves you. Jesus loves me, this I know. Two more times. And as we sing this chorus for the next two times, every time we say, Jesus loves me, and point to your heart, okay? Point to you, okay?
Jesus loves me, loves me still. When I'm very weak and ill, from his shining home on high, he will
Number 60. Like a little wandering lamb, lost upon the hills I am. Like a shepherd, Jesus stands, holding out his blessed hand. 60. Sick, one sick. Oh, I'm sorry. Can a little child like me thank the Savior fittingly? Yes, oh yes, he loves to hear praises from the children dear. That's a good one. Number 16. Can a little child like me thank the Savior fittingly? Yes, oh yes, he loves to hear praises from the children near. I can thank him more and more for my load of sin he bore. Before you can pray. Does anybody can tell me how old you have to be before you can pray? How old do you have to be before you can talk? You talk as soon as you can, don't you? And you pray as soon as you can. And you pray as often as you can. You know why? Because the Lord Jesus is listening for your voice. Are you used to praying? Have you prayed to the Lord Jesus all by yourself? Because you can. You pray to the Lord Jesus. You talk to Him just like you talk to your mom and dad. And you know, this little hymn says, I will need His help today in the things I do and say. So, you know, you can pray, Lord Jesus, help me. Help me. That's as simple as it has to be. And He will hear you. Isn't it nice to know that the God of heaven, the one who created all the flowers and the trees, and all the wonderful things that we see around, all the animals, little ants, and the big hippopotamuses, yet He's the one who loves to hear your voice. Will you come and talk to Him today? Maybe you already have talked to Him, and that's happy to think about, you know, that the little children will talk to the Lord Jesus. Okay, now who has another one? Number? 77. Salvation is a big word, but I am not too small to know Christ died on Calvary from sin to save us all. Well, somebody's going to have to start this one because it's a new one on me.
Salvation is a big word, but I am not too small.
Salvation,
salvation,
salvation.
message in that one. Now, do we have another one from a girl this time? Any of the girls have a song they'd like to sing? I don't see any girls' hands. Okay, boys, it's your turn again. Anybody have another one? Pardon? 93. We have heard the joyful sound. And it is a joyful sound to hear that Jesus saves sinners. That's what he came into the world to do. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You know why we know that? I'm sorry, it was 92, isn't it? 92? 93. Oh, dear. Second mistake. Second mistake. Dear 93. What a friend we have in Jesus. Oh, that's a precious one, too. All our sins and griefs to bear. Is Jesus your friend? Are you a friend of Jesus? That's wonderful to know that, isn't it? What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. How do we know all this? Do we know this from this precious book, don't we? Is this book a precious book to you? This can be your friend also, every step of your pathway, to get acquainted with the Bible, the Word of God, the Holy Word of God, the Word of a thrice holy God, the one with whom we all have to do. Let's sing number 93. What a friend we have in Jesus. Singing this hymn, that somebody had to write this song. Somebody had to write this hymn. And you know, when we read the words that they write, it tells about the writer, doesn't it? So to me, as I sing this hymn, I think Joseph Scriven must have learned something about the Lord Jesus, how he wants to be a friend that sticks closer than a brother. And you know, that is so very true, boys and girls. As you go through life, you're going to need Jesus as your close friend. You're going to find that you cannot do without him. And the sooner you learn to have Jesus as your close friend, the better it is for you. You live a happy and a clean life. You know, so many people in the world today, they think little of making their lives all dirty with sin. But you know, when you live close to the Lord Jesus and keep close to Him, talk to Him, let Him talk to you many times through His Holy Word, then He will help you keep your life clean and happy. And that's what the Lord Jesus came for, is that we might have life, eternal life, and that we might have it abundantly, abundant life. Now we're going to look to the Lord Jesus in prayer now, because the brother is going to talk to you, has a very important message for you, and I'm sure that he was going to want both your ears tuned in to what he has to say. So you listen very carefully, and now we're going to pray to the Lord Jesus and ask him for help.
First of all, boys and girls, I'm going to tell you about a little motto that I saw on the wall one day when I was in a house. A text, just a simple little message for children. It was a little girl, and she was asking a question. Listen, she said, "Lord, how much did you love me?" And when I looked, I saw the answer there underneath. It said this much, and he stretched forth his hand and died for me. That's how much the Lord loves you boys and girls. Now we're going to talk about the love of the Lord Jesus a little this morning. And I've got some things in my case here, a plate, you see, and some other items in here. Look, long ribbon, we'll talk a little about that later. What color is it? Correct. All right. Now we've got something else in here. What's that? Yes, correct. And we have this. What's this? Good. What else do we have in here? You know what this is, sure. Right. And look what I have here. And it works too. Have I got anything else in here? Oh, I got something else too. Correct, yes. Now we're going to talk about some of these things, boys and girls. You'll have to pay attention because we'll have a great deal of time. You know, it reminds me of a little story about a boy. And this boy was 10 years old, and his name was Tom. And Tom was a pretty brave boy. He could climb trees and go out camping all by himself and so on, but he was afraid of a plate that was on the wall in the living room or the dining room. And every time he went into the dining room, he looked at that plate, and it had something on it that he didn't like. He wished that plate would fall down and break into 100 pieces, but it never fell down. It was there all the time, whenever he went in. And these were the words on the plate, boys and girls. Thou, God, seest me. Now, Tom was told by his mother, "Tom, you're a pretty good boy. You don't do a lot of those bad things the other boys do." But Tom knew deep down in his heart that he was a sinner. He knew that he had done bad things. Sometimes he had covered them up, but they were there on his heart, and The plate used to speak to him every time he went into the dining room. It was there. So one day, Tom came to a Sunday school, to a hall where he heard that the Lord Jesus had died for him, and someone put their hand on Tom's shoulder after the meeting and said, "Tom, don't you want to accept the Lord Jesus today as your Savior?" And Tom realized that God was speaking to him. God looked into his heart. God loved him. And there, sitting on the seat, Tom opened his heart to the Lord. He was saved from his sin. And he was no longer afraid of the plate on the wall, "Thou, God, seest me," because he knew that his many sins were all washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, we're going to get on with our story now. And I'm going to speak about three people. First of all, this man here. What does that say? And his brothers on the other side. Yes.
Abel,
right. Now, these were brothers. In fact, I think they were twins. They were brought up in the same family. They sat at the same table. They had the same father and mother. And they heard the same message. You know who their father and mother was? Anyone? Hands up. Correct. Adam and Eve. Now, one day, both of these boys came before the Lord. They brought a present with them. And here was the present that Cain brought. Now, Cain was a hard-working man. We should really look closely at what the scriptures say about it, because that's the important thing. Let us look at Genesis chapter 4. And we'll read verse 2. "He again bare his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground." Now, Abel was a man who had lots of flocks and herds, but Cain was a man who worked with his hands in the field, and it was hot, hard work in those lands. It was very warm, and Cain had to work hard every day, and he grew vegetables and fruits, and he had beautiful fields and gardens, and Cain was a hard-working man, and he was a sincere man, too. He was a religious man. Oh, yes, you say Cain was a fairly good-living man. One day he brought to the Lord an offering. Here he comes with his offering. It looked very attractive. If you have seen it, it was a big display. It says here in the Bible, "In process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord." If you had been there, you would have said, "The Lord will surely take Cain's offering. Look at it. All the work that has gone into it. And it's beautiful to look at." And Cain is a sincere man. He believes in God. And what? God did not look upon the offering of Cain. He turned away from it. God turned away his face from it. And Cain was very angry about that. Anyway, his brother Abel came along shortly after. This time, Abel did not bring something that looked so nice. It was rather bloody looking. It was part of the herd or the flock that he had there, and the animal was dead there, and there was blood all over the offering there, and it didn't look so very attractive. But God accepted the offering that Abel brought. God was pleased with it, it says in the Bible. "Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of the flock and of the fat thereof, and the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering." That means God was pleased with what Abel brought. I'm going to ask you a question, so listen carefully. And unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Hands up. Who brought the offering which pleased the Lord? Yes. Correct. Now, the next question. Listen. Why did God accept the offering that Abel brought? This for. All right, someone else has an answer to my question. Yes. All right, that boy has the correct answer, but he didn't speak up very loud. Yes, God was looking for one thing in the offering. One thing. And boys and girls, this morning, God is looking for one thing in your life and on your heart this morning. He's not looking for your good works. Cain had lots of those. He's not looking for the turning over of a new leaf and trying to live a better life. You'll find that the second leaf is just as filthy as the first. No, God is looking for the blood on the heart of boys and girls. And he can see right into the heart, and he knows whether those sins have been washed by the blood of the Lord Jesus. Now, while you know the end of the story, I'll just mention it. Time is going. What happened in the field? Well, Cain rose up, he had a knife, and he killed his brother. Abel, right in the field, when they were alone, he took his knife and he brought it down on his brother Abel. He was angry and he was jealous. God says that Abel's blood came down onto the ground. But the blood of the Lord Jesus was shed on the cross too. But God says that through that blood, you can be saved from your sins. I go to India sometimes, and when I go to India, I see people going on long trips. They go and they wash in the rivers, down into the rivers they go, and they come up the same way as they go down. Their sins are on their heart, many black sins. They go down into the water, and they come up out of the river Ganges, and there they are, the very same. The very same as they went down. Not one change. Because soap and water can never wash away your sins, boys and girls. The blood of the Lord Jesus can wash away your sins and nothing else. In India, there was a man, his name was Karuba. And he was a bandit. And he was a cruel man, like Cain here. He had killed many people. And one day, he came to a church, and there was a man speaking in the church at the front, and the man was saying this: the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ can wash the sins of anyone away who is in this room. And Karuba had never heard that before because he was a Hindu and he worshipped idols. But he was really a murderer. And he listened and he heard the verse and he came up to the front and he said to the man, "What is that you said? The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from all sin." The man said, "Yes, this is what it says right here in 1 John chapter 1. Karuba said, "What about a person who has killed two people?" "Yes." "What about one who has did five murders? Committed five murders?" "Yes, the blood of the Lord Jesus can cleanse that person." 10 murders, he said. "Yes, even the blood of the Lord Jesus can wash away those horrible, terrible sins." "What about a person who has killed 20 innocent people?" "Yes, even 20 people. That sin can be forgiven." And Karuba had killed about 20 people, innocent people. And he just wept there as he thought about the Lord Jesus loving him enough to die and shed his blood on the cross to wash away his many sins. Now we're going to get on with our story here about another lady. Here. Look, I'm not an artist at all, but this will do to show you what I mean. All right? We're going to talk about a lady, and here's my red cord. And this red cord was hanging out of a window like this. And this house was on the wall. Look. And if you had passed by the city of Jericho, you'd look up and you might say to your friend, look at that lady. She has that red cord hanging out the window all the time. And I don't know what it's for, but I see it hanging there. And I'll tell you how that cord got there. Here's the city of Jericho, and Rahab, she was a lady who lived in the city of Jericho. She was a lady, I don't think you'd want to walk down the street with her. She was bound with many sins. Oh, sin had got a grip upon that lady, just like chains. She had many of them. She had a mountain of sins. Her heart was black as a piece of coal. And you might not want to walk down the street with her. She was an unclean lady. Well, so are we unclean boys and girls. The Bible says we are all as an unclean thing. That means there's not one of us that are any different to Rahab in the story that we're telling today. She was ruined. Ruined by sin. She had no hope. She lived in this city of Jericho. The walls were very thick in the city. And one day there were two men that came into the city. We don't know their names, but they came in through the gate. And they were spies. And they were looking around all over. They came from the camp of Israel. And they came from Joshua, and they were looking around to see the fortifications of the city. And there they were going around, and the king found out they were there. And he said, we're going to catch those men. And you know what happens to a spy? We're going to take their heads off. And the king was looking everywhere for them. He couldn't find them. The police were looking for them. They came to the house of Rahab, and they knocked at the door, and Rahab opened the door to them, and she said, come in. This is found in the book of Joshua, chapter 2. Come in, because the police are looking for you. And she had a roof on her house, look, and she heard the feet of the police all around the house. They were searching everywhere for these two men. She said, if you don't make an escape, they're going to find you. If you don't get out of here quickly, they're going to catch you, and then your life will be taken. Now they were coming, so she had to hide them someplace. She hid them on the top of the roof, and she put grass there growing. It just looked as if there was a garden growing on the top of the roof. And the police came, and they looked around. They said, Miss Rahab, is there anyone, has anyone come into your house here? Those men that we're looking for? No, she said, they came in, but they've gone out. So not only was she unclean, but she told lies too. And that God doesn't say that was right, no. But she said, you have to go and look for them because they've escaped through the gate. And so the police went and they searched for them, but they never found them. But Rahab said, after that happened, she said, men, get up right away. There's no time to lose because they are looking for you everywhere. And if you don't make an escape soon, you're going to be caught. Now, here comes the story of the red cord. Where is it? Where did I put it? Here it is, right here. All right. She said, now, here, go out the window down by the Red Fort at night and escape, because you can't get out the door. The gates are all closed and they're watching them everywhere. And you must escape over the window, out the window. And down went the two men, likely at night, and they ran as fast as they could. They got away. Now they said to Rahab, before they left, they said, Rahab, we're coming back again. Joshua is coming back with the armies, with the swords, with the trumpets. A great army is coming. Rahab, there's only one way that you can be saved. You must be in your house. Not only must you be in your house, but you also have to have that red cord hanging out the window. It's not enough to be in the house. If you don't have that red cord hanging out the window, you will not be safe, or anyone else in your house. But it says in the Bible that whosoever, that means anyone who was behind the red cord, not a hair of their head would fall to the ground. They would be safe. But anyone outside, the sword would come down upon their head. Now, boys and girls, I don't know exactly what Rahab did. The Bible doesn't tell us. But I think that she did this. She realized that the Word of God was true. She realized she was a bad sinner. She knew that God's judgment was hanging over that wicked city of Jericho because they were living bad lives. And God was going to punish them for their sin. And God is going to punish those who go on with their sins in this world too, because He hates sin. Many people who are bound with the cords of sin and can't save themselves at all. God can break the fetters of sin. God can deliver them, those people, if only they will come to the Lord Jesus. So Rahab, I don't know how much time she had, but I'm sure she went out and she knocked at doors and she said, come, quickly, come into my house. There's only one place of safety in this whole city of Jericho. They might say, Rahab, go into your house. We know the kind of a life that you have lived. We really don't want to have much company with you. Rahab said, God has warned us that judgment is coming. The trumpets are going to be sounding. Come immediately. I think she went around the city and she pled with people. Come in to the house. Don't delay. There's only one place of safety. How many obeyed? We don't know. But we do know that whoever was in that house would be safe. Now we come to the trumpet. We must finish our story. The time is gone. A little while after, Joshua came back, and all the armies of Israel with him. They had swords, and they had trumpets. And Joshua was there, the commander-in-chief. He was leading the armies. And Rahab, she looked out the window, and the scarlet cord was in the window, and she made every attempt to get people to come in. Maybe she made a last minute call around her neighborhood and said, don't delay. We can hear the trumpets. The warning note is being given. 6 days the trumpet sounds, day after day. Still an opportunity to come. The gates were all closed. No one could go out. No one could go in. And Rahab was in the house. And I think all her family were there too. I think many of her family and probably some others believed God's word. And they were inside the house. And at the last day, the seventh day, what happened? They got up early in the morning. And they went around the city this time, blowing the trumpets. The last opportunity to get into the house of Rahab. 7 times they went around. God was waiting patiently. God was looking down upon that city. He didn't want to bring down the sword upon it. He loved those people just the way he loves you. And he said, God had his arms wide open for those people to be saved if only they would put their trust in him. And the red cord, boys and girls, the third thing we have here on our sheet, the red cord speaks to us of the same thing that we had in the offering of Abel. Hands up, what is it? Why couldn't this be a yellow cord or a blue cord that was hanging outside the window of Rahab? Yes. Good. And what does the red speak of now? Yes. Correct. It speaks of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus. And every boy or girl here who puts their trust in the blood of the Lord Jesus and just takes their place there as a sinner and looks up to the Lord, whose arms are wide open, in his hands are the mark of the nails, and in his side is the mark of the spear, you'll be rescued from sin and danger and hell, and you'll be saved. The trumpet sounded for the last time, and all of a sudden, down came the walls of Jericho, and the commander, Joshua, with that gleaming sword in the sunlight, he said, forward! And the men of Israel went right into the city of Jericho with their swords, brave men, and everything that breathed died in that city. Animals, even boys and girls that would not go into Rahab's house, men and women who were going on with their evil ways and sins, God's judgment fell upon them. They never had another opportunity. But first of all, everyone who was in the house of Rahab was taken out and placed in a safe place. They were taken out of the house, and not one of them suffered any harm. They were brought into a place of blessing. In fact, Rahab married a man in the nation of Israel, and he became in line for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, our Sunday school is almost finished, boys and girls. I just want to tell you a story in closing, as time is going. I tell you about a little boy who lived in England. This little boy was just a street boy. He didn't have nice clothes on like you children have. Just had rags on. This little boy heard that a great preacher was coming to speak at the hall. His name was Mr. Moody. And he said, oh, I would like to hear Mr. Moody speak. And he went to the door of the hall. He didn't have shoes on his feet. His hair was all uncombed and his face was dirty. And the poor little boy thought, I'm going to try to get into this hall. He knocked at the door. Or he came to the man who was looking after the door and he said, sir, I want to go in to hear Mr. Moody. He said, there's no room. He went to another door and he got the same answer. There's no room here for you. And he went to another door and it was the same thing. All filled. You can't come in here. And the poor little boy, he sat down outside of the front door and the tears trickled down his face. He said, if only I had nice clothes on and some shoes on my feet, maybe they would let me go in there. Then all of a sudden there was a big man who stepped out of a chariot that stopped at the front door. And the doors flew open and the man walked in. He looked down and he saw the little boy there weeping, crying. He said, what's the problem, lad? Oh, he says, I want to go in there to hear Mr. Moody, and they won't let me go in. And he was heartbroken. This man said, "Give me your hand." And he took the hand of a little boy, and he walked right into the hall, right up to the front, and he put the little boy right on a front seat where you children are sitting. And then he stood up to preach the gospel from the platform. It was Mr. Moody himself. That little boy took the hand of the man that loved him and had mercy on him. Boys and girls, there's a hand stretched out to you today, one whose hands were nailed to the cross, the hand that has never failed a man. Won't you put your trust in him? The blood that he shed for you on the cross. The red cord speaks of the blood of the Lord Jesus. Nothing else can make you safe, can deliver you from your sins, boys and girls, but that precious blood. And won't you just come as you are this very morning to the feet of the Lord Jesus, who is waiting and longing to save you. And I just want to read a little verse as we close in the book of Timothy. You might have some Christian children here. It's in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We'll just read this verse and make a few comments because the time is gone. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. "And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus." Years ago, there were not mailmen going door to door to deliver the mail like Mr. Jenkins does. They didn't used to have those kind of people. They had what was called a Pony Express. And this Pony Express had 500 of the fastest horses in the country. And they went about 50 miles each, right across the country from Missouri, right across to California. Nearly 2,000 miles. And it took them 10 days to get the mail delivered. Now, in those days, $5 was a lot of money. So the letters had to be on very, very thin paper. And it cost $5 for an ounce. And the horses were small, and they had small saddles, and they had no horseshoes. Everything was lightweight because they had to go fast and then change a horse and go on. But there was one thing they always had. When you joined the Pony Express, boys and girls, to ride those horses, you were given something. Standard equipment. Everyone had it. They never went without, even though they tried to keep everything else to a minimum weight. They all were presented with a Bible. Every man in the Pony Express, he carried a full-size Bible with him. The people in those days, those pioneer days, they knew the value of God's Word. It's their compass. It was their compass and their guide. And children, you have a wonderful treasure here in your hand, the greatest in the world. Do you realize the value of it? Do you read it as those people did on the Pony Express? They realized the value of God's Word. They treasured it. Do you do so too? Do you keep it? Do you read it? And do you believe it? Do you seek to walk according to what God has given us in His Word? May the Lord bless the Word to each one of our hearts this morning. We're going to sing a little hymn. You probably all know it without even looking it up. "What can wash away my sin?" We'll sing a verse or two of that hymn.
What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood.
heads and close our eyes.